Thank you for calling the Gerwick Report Hotline, the official hotline for www.gerweck.net. That's gerwick.net. Definitely check it out for all your pro wrestling news. But we'll take a little break from the regular format. I'm going to welcome a very special guest to this hotline, a former X Division champion with TNA and formerly of the WWE. Tonight I give you Frankie Kazarian. How are you doing tonight, Frankie?
Fantastic. How are you doing?
We're doing excellent, and first and foremost, we really appreciate your time, and thanks for coming on the hotline.
Definitely. My pleasure.
All right. Definitely. And the first question, I think probably the obvious question here is your WWE stint was very short. We heard all kinds of rumblings on the Internet stemming from, you know, lack of push. You never made it to SmackDown, to the story that they wanted you to cut your hair. I guess. What is the bottom line, Frankie, and why are you no longer with WWE?
It's the same reason why you don't stay with any job that you're not happy with. I wasn't happy there. And it wasn't because of lack of push. You know, a lot of people said that. I would have made it to SmackDown eventually. I had no doubt in my mind. And on a lot of the Internet, like, I've been reading a lot of stuff that people wrote that I went and talked to a writer, and he didn't know I was there, who I was, and he thought I was there for a dark match. That's beyond ridiculous. I don't even know how these things get started. And then these other goofs go and report that that's what happened, when it's completely false. That wasn't the reason. I just wasn't happy there, just personally and professionally. It's a great company, don't get me wrong, just not one that I fit into right now. There was a discussion about changing my look a little bit, which I thought was not necessary. I think everyone there kind of has a similar look and a similar style. I thought I offered something a little bit different. And we just kind of agreed to disagree that it's not the place that you should be at this point.
I think the one story about you running into an agent that didn't recognize you or didn't understand who you were, because there was previously a report on the Internet, I don't know how factual it was or not, but one thing that was going around was that some of the writers, the WWE hires, doesn't exactly know much about wrestling. But if they don't know much about wrestling, they probably don't know much about the talent.
Right.
Somebody like yourself, who it doesn't have the name recognition of a Hulk Hogan or Randy Savage, you know, you come into the fold and suddenly they don't even know who you are.
Yeah, I could see that, because I don't know who the writers are, obviously, you know. There's 15 or 16 of them. I'm not good with names to begin with, but, I mean, there's a couple I kind of started to have a decent rapport with and would talk to, but for the most part, it looks like they were different people every week walking around, you know. And I could see how they wouldn't really know who I am, but for someone to come up with a story like that, and then these other websites start reporting it, is just silly. But I guess that's what they do.
Yeah, definitely.
You know?
Sticking with websites real quickly here, typically when somebody leaves the Federation or they're released, they will put up a little statement that says, the WWE wishes so-and-so the best in future endeavors. Now, they didn't do that with you. However, they did put a little blurb in, I think, from the fantasy online game that probably not a good idea to take Frankie Kazarian's if he's company anymore.
That shows you how high I ranked on their standards, I guess.
What did you think of that?
I thought it was hilarious, because the day I left, on my website, I put a little blurb saying that Frankie Kazarian is no longer with the WWE. Frankie wishes WWE all the best in their future endeavors. Which, you know, that's kind of the way I am, you know. Which, and I meant it. I was sincere, you know. And then they put on their fantasy game that the fantasy guys that play wrestling fantasy games or whatever they are shouldn't pick me because I'm not with the company, which I thought was hysterical. I take those. I'm really lighthearted. I take that stuff with a grain of salt.
Well, it's a good thing that you do. And I wanted to ask you, why do you think they didn't put up a statement? Because you never made it to the major TV, so they didn't consider.
Yeah, probably
you.
No one could care less. Probably. I mean, a lot of my fans, a lot of TNA fans, and people that were kind of following me, they obviously cared. But you know, for the most part, I was just a guy that was on Velocity for like 6 weeks, and I guess they didn't feel it was necessary to put that up there, which is fine, and I understand that.
To clarify things, did you request your release, or did they ask you to move on?
Neither. It was mutually decided. You know, after having a talk, conversation with management, basically decided that we shouldn't do business. It was mutually accepted on both parties.
Okay, and just to also make things clear, as part of your release, you do have a 90-day cycle.
Yeah.
So I believe you said this will tie you up until November from WWE?
Until middle of November, yeah.
Okay. So if any other major organization, including TNA, you'd be sitting out at least until November?
Sure, yeah. I can do independence, and I could do Japan and whatnot, but just not like TNA or any other nationally broadcast wrestling, which there isn't any, so.
I was going to say, that limits it down about one company, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
Going back to the question about your hair and your look, I was wondering if that ever came up when they first contacted you about working there, that they like you, but maybe, you know, change a couple things about yourself, or
no.
When you come in, you work a little bit of a different style than what you're used to in TNA, they just hired you as is.
Yeah, nothing was said to me about that until the last... I mean, I knew I had to change and adapt to their style because it is different, which is fine. I have no problem doing that. No, as far as the look and anything, nothing was said about that until my last day in Columbus, Ohio. Nothing at all. But then again, they didn't tell me a lot of things. You know, I also sat at home for 5 months and was told nothing, just waiting to hear what was going to happen, so...
Yeah, why do you, you know, it was really odd that you had, I think it was right after the Against All Odds pay-per-view, you gave notice.
Yeah.
And then you signed with WWE, and then you were on the shelf for so long. Why do you think that was?
I guess, from what I understand, the creative didn't know what to do with me, which, okay. And every day I would sit here waiting to hear, you know, because I couldn't do independence, I couldn't do anything, so I was really getting antsy towards the end.
Now, did you contact them originally about working for the company, or did they contact you?
They had contacted me. I was working without a contract in TNA, and for about 6 months, 5 months before the time happened. I think I was working without a contract since September, and they contacted me in January, and had gotten wind of that. So I'd been talking to them since January, and I didn't sign until the end of February.
Now, you at the time you left TNA, you were you know, teaming regularly with Michael Shane. Did they have any interest in him at the same time, or was it purely they wanted you?
Well, Michael Shane was locked into a contract, so
okay.
I can't speak for them, but I wouldn't see why they wouldn't want someone like Michael Shane.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Who were the agents you came in contact with, and who were the main WWE contacts from a management standpoint?
Bobby Dreamer, who's a really, really good friend of mine, first and foremost, is the first one I began speaking with, who I still speak to this day because he's a great human being, he's a really good friend of mine. So it was basically all through him at first until I eventually started with the company.
Okay. Do you know how many total matches you had in WWE because you were there for such a short time?
No, because I did a couple dark matches and some stuff out here in California and some stuff on the road when I first left TNA, and I don't know, probably 10 or so. Not a lot.
At the time you were released, do you think it was about the time you were, you know, really be called up to the main roster? Did you think you were getting close to being the SmackDown?
I'm sure of it, yeah. I mean, I could hope so. I don't want to say I'm sure of it. I mean, I'm confident in myself that they would have seen something in me, but that's totally up to them and the writers, so I don't really know. I could say yes, but I could be wrong.
Now, what were the major factors when you left TNA? What was it that was that enticed you to go to WWE?
Well, I mean, you know, WWE's—that's what I started watching when I was a little kid. WWF back then, I liked it better when it was the WWF. You know, and it was an opportunity that came to work for a company that I always dreamed of working for, and at the time, I was happy in TNA. I have a lot of good friends there. I was happy wrestling. I loved teaming with Matt, and but at the time, I don't think we were being utilized to our full potential at all, and you know, we discussed this with several people, and it just seemed like we were just spinning the wheel and getting nothing done, so I was looking at long term, it didn't look like if the management at TNA had stayed the same, that I was going to go anywhere, and I thought I had a lot more to offer, so I decided to go to WWE.
Yeah, I read another interview. You were saying that one of the reasons WWE contacted you was that they were going to expand the cruiserweight division, and we knew when they signed Hoovy and Super Crazy and the Mexi Cool, so we really thought they were really going to push that cruiserweight division. Did you kind of think the same thing when you were signed, that you would be kind of an important part of that cruiserweight division?
Well, yeah, I mean, that's what they told me. They said they wanted to revamp the cruiserweight division. So that's why they were going to bring me in primarily, and I was also told, though, that I might have been too big to be a cruiserweight, that I was more of like a tweener, like icy title type guy, but either way, I said, you know, I'd love having matches with cruiserweights or whatever, but, you know, that's what I thought was the intention, but it doesn't look like that's really their plans right now.
In general, what do you think of the current WWE product?
Well, here's the thing. I think it's frustrating because there's so many talented wrestlers there that are so completely underutilized, and the show could be a lot better than it is. It has its moments where it can be good, but I think it's nothing like it was years ago. There's just so many guys that are just, for whatever reason, not being used or being used just completely out of context, and it could be so good and so spot on, but it's just not, you know, and all the potential is there, and I don't know if that starts with the writers, creative, because they absolutely have the talent. You can't blame it on the talent. So, you know, I think it's a little bit stale. You know, again, though, like I said, sometimes they have some really entertaining stuff. The only problem is the entertaining segments of the show are being put on by guys like Shawn Michaels, who is awesome, and he's probably my favorite wrestler of all time. But Shawn Michaels has been doing this for years. They haven't made any new huge stars that can captivate an audience, you know, like The Rocks or The Austins.
Yeah, my biggest criticism with WWE's current product is when I watch Raw and SmackDown, it's like a talk show anymore.
Yeah, a lot of talking, you know, which, you know, you need to get your storylines across. I understand that, but people want to see action. They want to see wrestling. You know, they do want to see that, and I think with the division, like a cruiserweight division, that's something different. People want to see that. You know, you need to add a little bit of variety.
In general, what do you think of the current WWE cruiserweight division?
I don't know that there is a current WWE cruiserweight division, honestly. I guess Nunzio's the champ, right? He's the cruiserweight champ. I don't know who the number one contender. Paul London's awesome, a really good friend of mine. They decided Spanky back. He's
right.
Another talent. I hope they're used as cruiserweights or used to the best of their advantage. Cause, like I said, again, they have the talent there to do something big, but for whatever reason, they choose not to. I mean, WWE has always been a big guy-based organization, so maybe they're just sticking with that formula. It's worked thus far.
Now, something I heard was that they decided that they needed some more cruiserweights, so they went out. Remember, this was after they signed the three Mexi Cools to be part of the Mexi Cools. Mm-hmm. Well, then they went out and they got Jamie Noble back, they got Spanky back, and
yes.
That's why I really thought, you know, maybe they were actually going to push the cruiserweight division. Now, Paul London has kind of fallen off.
Taking
the title off him, they put it on Nunzio, who I have no problem with, but
yeah.
I don't know if Paul London really got a proper push as champ.
No, Paul London, again, hasn't even scratched the surface what he can do there because he's not allowed to, you know, but, I mean, God, I hope that changes, you know. I really hope for the sake of the wrestling fans watching that they give those guys a little leeway and let them do what they can do.
Right. Do you ever envision yourself going back to WWE?
I've never closed the door on anything in my career, you know. You never say never in this business, you know. And that was even talked about when I had my discussion when I left, you know. They said, you know, who knows what happens 6 months, 2 years, 3 years, 5 years down the road. You know, I definitely leave all doors open, and I think I left on really good terms.
Okay, very good. And then why don't you compare the WWE locker room to the TNA locker room?
It's different. I mean, WWE is such a huge, big production, you know, and you got established stars and guys that have been there for, you know, years and been doing this for years and, you know, millionaires and whatnot. And you know, you got your guys just coming up and whatnot. TNA, I mean, if you want to talk difference, TNA's locker room and WWE's are really kind of like night and day. TNA, for me, I feel very comfortable. I felt very comfortable there. There's really, you know, everyone kind of checks their ego at the door. Everyone's friendly. TNA, when there was like an enhancement talent or a new guy coming in, all the TNA talent or the veterans would come up and shake their hand, whereas WWE, like, you know, the established talent or the job guys coming in, they're kind of thrown in the side of the building, go over here, and they're kind of have the feeling of walking on eggshells, which I don't like. I think you should be felt, you know, made to feel welcome. I'm all about paying your dues and all that, absolutely, but just totally different vibes, you know, but it's totally two totally different companies, so that's to be expected.
Yeah. Now, obviously, you know, WWE has a lot of Hollywood writers.
Yeah.
They have a lot of, they don't really have wrestling bookers, they have writers, I guess. To me, there's such a big difference between a writer and a booker.
Right.
A writer is writing storylines, a booker definitely has the storylines involved, but definitely, you know, they're putting up the two best matches they can. They're out to sell tickets, they're out to sell pay-per-view buys, that's what it's all about.
Right.
Now, obviously, in your case, you didn't really get a chance to really interact with the creative staff. I was just wondering, had you gotten a chance to book yourself or given some ideas for your push in WWE, what would you have come up with, or what would you have suggested to WWE?
Well, I mean, I liked what I was doing. Was I was using my whole future thing that I've been using since day one. You know, I definitely would like to have started something with Paul London when he was a babyface. You know, a little series there. I think that could have been some good business if they wanted to push me as a cruiserweight. You know, I still didn't know what they really had planned for me. But there is talks of doing something with me and Funaki and stuff like that. Just, you know, obviously to start off slow and build my character up. But, you know, I was not about to really say anything because I don't think I ever felt that comfortable in the company to start pitching ideas.
Definitely, and you were only there for such a short time, and
yeah.
I think it's probably the biggest disappointment was I really never got a chance to see you on the big show, the SmackDown show. You were on Velocity, and, you know, the thing about the current situation with WWE is it looks like that Velocity show will be ending, so a lot of the guys that work a lot on that show, I guess, will either be released or they'll find a way to bring them to the SmackDown show.
Yeah, hopefully they'll find a way to bring them to the SmackDown show because they got some talented guys there, but we'll see what happens once they move to USA.
I want to ask you, you were on Velocity, of course, that is the 11 o'clock show on Spike TV, and of course TNA is going to be moving into that time slot. What type of audience, how do you see the shows doing? Do you think Impact will do better than Velocity, or do you think because it's a WWE show, Velocity will do better than Impact?
No, I think, we got about another month before TNA starts. I think if advertised correctly, Impact will be head and shoulders above Velocity in terms of ratings and matches. If enough people are exposed to the product, once the mainstream audience gets to see TNA on TV, I think they're going to see that there is an alternative out there of some really, really fantastic wrestling. So it's just a matter of how it's all packaged and how it's all advertised, you know.
Did you get a chance to see the TNA commercial on Raw this week?
I did. Yes, I did.
What did you think of the commercial?
I thought it was good. You know, hopefully they keep doing that, and, you know, and broadening the commercials and start showing their established talent so people can start putting names and faces and stuff, you know.
I thought it was too short, but I like the underlying story there is that we're going to give you more of what you want. We're going to give you more wrestling with Impact.
Right.
When we take away 4 hours of WWE programming, because in 4 hours of WWE programming, you have very little wrestling.
Sure, and in 1 hour of Impact, you should have a lot. That's what they're trying to get at, which is good. Let's hope, you know, let's hope it's all done right.
Absolutely. Let's go back to TNA now. How'd you get started with Total Nonstop Action?
I started in June of 2003. I was brought in basically by Scott D'Amore. He had brought me in. We were friends. We had toured Europe together and Australia, New Zealand. And he brought me in. He called me up and asked if I wanted to come in for a shot for like almost like a tryout. So I came in and was part of like a six-man tag match, I think. And then they wasn't brought in the next week. And then the week after that was the one-year anniversary show, and they brought me in for that. And I was a regular and started the stuff with Chris Sabin and the X Division title and Michael Shane, Matt Bentley, and Ultimate X and all that. Had a pretty decent little run until I think it was October of that year, and they decided not use me for another 5 months.
Right. Talk about your career before TNA. I know you were a former pro wrestling guerrilla champion.
Yeah.
You worked a lot with UPW. For those that don't really know Frankie Kazarian, talk about your career prior to going into TNA.
Well, I came up just like anyone. You know, I moved out to Massachusetts, was trained by Killer Kowalski, and I started out there in Massachusetts, and especially times got tough, came back to California, started working on the indies out here, started with a fed called EWF, was regular with them, hooked up with UPW in early 2000, started with them, I really got a lot of exposure, because UPW was kind of a big deal back then, that's where I started tagging with Nova, and, you know, we got some good exposure, and after that, started getting booked elsewhere, and just wrestling all over the country, you know, and all over the world, just doing stuff, going to Japan and whatnot, and just kind of, you know, kind of had the snowball effect, just kept rolling and getting bigger and bigger until the TNA deal hit, and until now.
Now, one thing that I think a lot of people probably don't realize that you were a former tag team champion with Nova.
Yeah,
Simon Dean. So
yes, yeah.
How did you enjoy teaming with Mike Bucci?
It was good. You know, it was. I learned a lot from him. You know, I was still only a couple years in the business when I hooked up with him. 3 years in the business, maybe. And so I learned a lot. You know, I got a lot of exposure. You know, just had a good time. You know, we went to all of the states: Japan, Alaska, Trinidad. You know, we went a lot of places together, and it was cool. We had a cool little run until he got signed with WWE.
Right. I believe in UPW, you got a chance to work with Nathan Jones.
Oh, yeah.
What was your opinion of Nathan Jones?
I personally think Nathan Jones is one of the best human beings I've ever met. I mean, all stories aside, I spent a lot of time with Nathan when he started out here training with him. Spent a lot of time. He was on the same tour of Europe. I hung out with him a lot, and he and I actually had to go to... we were actually in Japan together for 2 weeks. Then we flew to, I believe it was Ireland, and did the tour of Europe, and then flew back to Japan. I was with him the whole time, so, you know, we bonded quite a bit. We got to hang out quite a bit, and I kind of know Nathan on a different level, and he's just a sweet human being and an intelligent guy, and I think very misunderstood, but yeah, I like Nathan, and I'm going back to Australia. I hope I get a chance to see him. It would be great.
Very good. Definitely. At the end of the interview, I'm going to talk about what's coming up for Frankie Kazarian, so we'll get back to that. What was your opinion when Dusty Rhodes was hired as head booker for TNA?
Right when he was hired, I didn't really know. I mean, I didn't know much about Dusty Rhodes other than what I had seen, you know, and I respected him as a wrestler and what he's done as a legend in the business, you know, and no one really knew what to expect until maybe a month or so in, and it was just... In my opinion, things got progressively, as far as my character, our character is concerned, things got progressively worse for us, I think the products overall, and I didn't see that it helped TNA at that point at all.
Did some of the wrestlers, or any of the wrestlers at that time, have any input with Dusty, or was Dusty kind of the guy in charge, and what he said pretty much went?
I don't know, I'm sure some of the wrestlers did. You know, we had tried to pitch ideas and had asked what the plans were for us, and when we heard what the plans were, it was kind of like, okay, you know, Dusty Rhodes, I don't even think knew who I was when he took over, which is fine, you know, but I think if you're going to book a product and book a show, you should familiarize yourself with the current roster and have ideas or not have ideas, so... Yeah, I don't know, but as far as other guys coming to him and accepting ideas, giving him ideas, I'm not sure.
Now, did the booking of Dusty Rhodes, obviously at the time, he was really splitting you guys up with, you know, yourself and Matt Bentley and Tracy were kind of going in different directions. Did that play a factor in your decision to leave TNA?
Yeah, it did. I mean, they split Tracy up from us and gave no reason whatsoever, which just is really insulting the audience, you know. And then... You know, Matt and myself just kind of out there having, like, not doing any, just having a tag match every once in a while. Most of the time was a singles match, and just really nothing, you know. And I even asked if anything was going to be done with us because, you know, I wanted to commit. I wanted to be there and get the team going because I think we had so much to offer as a tag team, but it just never happened.
Right. Overall, how would you rate Dusty Rhodes as a booker?
Oh, am I even like grades or like a 1 to 10 or?
Any way you want to put it, yeah, grade, maybe A, B, C, D, E.
Okay, see, if I were giving him a grade, I would give him a, wow, is there anything lower than an F? Well, oops, I didn't mean that. No, I would give him like a strong D.
Well, actually, I would have given him the F. So.
Okay, I was trying to be PC there.
I know, but...
Is there anything lower than an F?
I don't believe there is, but I got to say...
A G? Can I give him a G?
We'll give him a G tonight.
All right.
G for Gerwick tonight, but...
Yeah,
The bottom line was, when they hired him, I thought it was a very bad move. I didn't think he was a very good booker in the NWA.
Yeah.
I thought he was very out to date. A lot of the dusty finishes, a lot of the old dusty bookings. We got to take him back.
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, you got a 6-year-old man booking a product that 18-year-old kids watch. You know, I mean, it's kind of, you know.
Well, I always thought he still thought it was 1985.
Well, he possibly could. You never know. But, it just, yeah, again, that's just my opinion, you know, but that did contribute a lot to my decision to leave.
Absolutely, and that's, as I said, I was very critical of Dusty Rhodes when they hired him. Actually, I was a little sour on TNA when they first hired him because I liked the product overall. I liked the wrestling style, but I just didn't think Dusty Rhodes was a guy to lead, you know, TNA. And I got to ask you right now, with the current direction of TNA, with guys like Dutch Mantel and Scott D'Amore and Jeremy Borash and Mike Tenay, guys who are in the creative process, I would assume you have a totally different outlook for TNA at this point.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you know, those guys are, Scott D'Amore, obviously, is a friend of mine. Mike Tenay, who I met years before I got into the business, and who gave me a lot of advice, I became very friendly with. Dutch Mantel, towards the end of TNA, he really helped me out a lot, and I learned a lot from him. Jeremy Borash, you know, same deal. And, yeah, I think so far, I mean, I haven't been able to follow all the product a lot, but I, you know, a lot of my friends are still there, and from everything I've seen and heard, it looks to be kicking on all cylinders right now.
Did you, Tracy, or Matt Bentley ever vent your frustration to Dusty Rhodes about the direction of, you know, your characters at that point?
I believe Matt Bentley did quite a bit. He, he's known to speak what's on his mind, but I'm not sure if we ever got a chance to vent him right to Dusty. You know, we were just kind of, when we find out what we were doing, we were just kind of like, what the hell is going on, you know? I don't know if any of us directly had any conversation with Dusty. I know I personally did, and I can't speak for Matt or Tracy, but I'm not sure.
Yeah. You know, we've had Tracy Brooks on the hotline several times, and she's not the person that's going to, you know, say, yeah, I was upset or I was unhappy.
Yeah.
And I, the one thing I just didn't like at all was Dusty was the booker, so then he has Tracy and Trinity at his side.
Sure, yeah.
Which to me, well, you know, I guess when you're the booker, yeah, you can have the most beautiful woman around you that you want, but from a believability standpoint, no.
Well, yeah, well, here's what the audience was supposed to believe, that Trinity left the NYC and Tracy left Matt and myself to go hang out with a 60-year-old cowboy because they thought that would be better for him, and believe, I mean, who's gonna believe that? You know, it was just silly. But, you know, what can you do?
And then to continue on, then after Tracy left the tag team of Frankie and, at the time, Michael Chain, she got a new tag team, which just definitely made no sense.
No, yeah, she left us, and then 2 weeks later was told to go find a new tag team.
Yeah.
Which was just, I mean, anyone watching was just probably slapping themselves in the head going, what?
Absolutely. That was one of them, no doubt about it.
So was I.
What's your opinions, if you got a chance to meet them, what's your opinions of Dixie and Bob Carter?
Oh, both very, very, very nice people. I met Dixie, obviously, when I first came into TNA, and I've had a chance to you know, to talk to her, and she's just a very sweet, very nice lady, good head on her shoulders. Same with Bob. Yeah, I've only had a chance to really say hello and shake Bob's hand. I haven't really had a chance to talk to him a lot, but they're good people, very good business people, and they really believe in the product of TNA. So, I mean, that's all you can ask.
Absolutely. And do you feel like they're really committed to this project at this point?
Oh, I'm sorry, go ahead. I missed that. I'm sorry.
Do you feel that the Carters are really, truly committed to this project, the TNA project?
Oh, for sure. I mean, from all indications, absolutely. You know, they have no signs of letting up. You know, they really want to make this thing go. And I know they can, you know. If everyone puts the effort that they've been putting into it, it's going to happen.
Now, I heard in another interview that you did that when you left WWE, it wasn't a hard decision, but when you left TNA, that was a very hard decision.
Sure.
What was the biggest regret, or what did you miss most about TNA when you left?
Just the camaraderie, all my, you know, a lot of really good friends there. You know, obviously teaming with Matt, I was going to miss that. You know, just having a good time, being able to wrestle in a different, kind of a different, unique setting, you know, the six-sided ring, and, you know, kind of, it just... You know, I was just kind of, I was just going to miss out on a personal level. And, you know, professionally, I was just going to miss being a member of the TNA roster. You know, it wasn't easy to leave.
Right. We talked about a little bit before, we're talking about Velocity and Impact. What do you think of the future of TNA now that they've got a national TV deal? I think a lot of us would like to see a two-hour deal, would like to see a better time slot. But what do you think of TNA now that they've moved away from the Fox Sports Net channel to Spike TV, and then obviously they have a big pay-per-view called Bound for Glory coming up in October?
Sure, I think it's, like I said, they're kicking on all cylinders and they're stepping in the right direction. This TV deal, once they get, you know, once people see the product, they're going to, you know, word of mouth is the best advertising. It's going to get around. Hopefully that leads to a better time slot, which hopefully leads to perhaps a two-hour time slot. And, you know, and that hopefully that gets more people to buy the pay-per-views. And TNA is absolutely delivered on every pay-per-view. I know that. And it's just going to take them putting a good, solid TV show on every week that people can see.
I want to ask you, when you were part of TNA, at the time, the Impact show was airing on Fox Sports Net.
Yeah.
And one of the things we had heard about was that if the show would do well from a rating standpoint, maybe you guys would get a better time slot, maybe you get a two-hour deal. And consistently, on a week-to-week basis, the Impact show was one of the highest-rated shows on the network, yet you never really got that break. You never got the better time slot. I thought, you know, you went from, what, 3 o'clock to 4 o'clock Eastern time on Fridays, which wasn't much of an improvement. Do you feel like you guys have really got a fair shake on Fox Sports Net?
I mean, we got a fair shake in terms of they put us on TV, which is what we needed at the time, what TNA needed at the time. And but, yeah, the time slot wasn't the best, you know, and from everything I heard while I was there, that's what I had heard the same thing. You know, if it had done good, we'd get a better slot, you know, more time, and it had, and nothing ever happened to that. And then I guess the deal ran out in June or whatever it was, and there it goes.
Yeah, because when we have Tracy on at that time, she would say, Bob Ryder, somebody within TNA would keep you guys abreast on how you guys are doing on the ratings side.
Oh, yeah.
And it really would seem like, with that show doing so strongly on that network, at some point, you know, I guess they gave you a couple of the primetime specials, but ultimately it didn't seem like Fox Sports was really solidly behind the TNA product.
No, probably because Fox Sports Net had never broadcast wrestling, so this is probably like maybe them trying it out to see, and maybe it didn't fit into their programming schedule. That's something I guess the Fox Sports Net executives would have to tell you. That's just my assumption, yeah.
Yeah, there's a tough one, too, with Fox Sports Net, is because they have local programming on a lot of the networks.
Sure, a lot of you get canceled out, and, you know,
so even if they give an 8 o'clock time slot, you could be preempted in Denver, you could be preempted in Tampa,
sure.
Florida.
Exactly.
So it's a tough network. And now with, like, TV, TNA not only gets the U.S. coverage, they also get penetration into Canada, which, you know.
Oh, yeah, so it's going to be big for them.
And not to mention they're going to do the deal with, I forgot the company, but they're doing a national DVD deal as well. So the exposure will be out there, you know.
Definitely.
So.
Most definitely.
We got to ask you the question. Are you returning to TNA?
Well, obviously, I have to honor my 90 days, which I intend to do. Once that 90 days is up, you know, that's a decision. Well, probably before that, that's a decision that I have to make, you know. That is if TNA wants me back. You know, there's a lot of things that have to be discussed with myself and TNA, so I can't really say yes or no. I do like what they're doing. I do like the product. And I personally think I could fit right back in. But, you know, like I said, a lot of things have to be discussed.
If you were to go back, would you like to go right back in the same storyline as, you know, you with Matt as a team, managed by Tracy? Or would you suggest a different storyline at this point?
I'd be open to anything. I think from a lot of just emails I've received and a lot of things that people have sent me, I think a lot of the general consensus of the TNA fan is a lot of people want to see the three of us back together. Because we were never, I don't think, given the chance to run with the ball. So, you know, I'm always up to giving the fans what they want.
Do you think your decision to leave TNA and go to WWE will hurt your standings with TNA?
I don't think so. I left on really good terms, but then again, you never know. Some people might view it as, well, he left us, you know, and, you know, when we were struggling, and maybe they'll view it as that and maybe not want me back, but I don't think so, because, like I said, I left very professionally, on very good terms with everyone, and hopefully it doesn't affect that, if that were to come through.
Now, if you come back, would you envision yourself being a part of the X Division, or is it time for Frankie Kazarian to be really, you know, portrayed and viewed as a heavyweight?
I absolutely love wrestling in the X Division, and I wouldn't be opposed to it, but at the same time, that's kind of a plateau that I've already walked on, you know? I kind of want to see what else is out there in terms of whether it be heavyweight or tag team or whatever else. But I'm definitely not opposed to wrestling in the X Division.
Okay. What is your general opinion of the six-sided ring?
I like it. I think it's something different. You know, when people turn the channel and they see that, they go, wow, that's different. I got used to it right away, so it didn't hurt me at all. And I just think it adds, you know, a different element to TNA that, you know, and TNA has a lot of different elements, and I think it helps the product.
I'm kind of neutral on it. I can see the point of it's something different, but I also see the side of people saying that originally when TNA came around, they were NWA TNA, and they all were about tradition, and obviously, what's traditional about a six-sided ring other than maybe Mexican tradition?
Exactly, and I see that, but I mean, at the same time, I think that TNA management or TNA in general at the time realized that it was time to change things up, you know. Tradition is tradition, but at the same time, tradition is going to put butts in the seats. So I think maybe this was a ploy to spice things up, and I like it. I do like it.
I think one thing that probably a lot of people don't know about you was during the recent Cauliflower reunion, they awarded you the Future Award, which I believe you followed in the footsteps of Kurt Angle and Chris Benoit. Pretty good company there.
Yeah, it was a huge honor. I attend the Cauliflower Alley Club convention every year. It's held in Las Vegas.
Right.
I am a member of the Cauliflower Alley Club, which I recommend fans, wrestlers, everything do that. I think they have a website. Just because it honors the legends of wrestling, boxing, male and female, and I don't think we do that enough. I don't think we, you know, recognize the guys that got us here, the legends of the sport. So I go to that every year. One reason I go to it is because Killer Kowalski usually attends, and it's my only chance to get to visit him. And I just have a great time, you know, hanging with all the legends and, you know, meet a lot of other wrestlers go and attend, and it's a good time. And, yeah, they named me the Future Legend, which Chris Benoit won 1 year, Kurt Angle, and cheerleader Melissa won it the year before. And, yeah, it was great company and a great honor, totally unexpected. And, you know, it was a good time, and I'll definitely be there this next year. And it's a trip to go to Vegas, so you can't go wrong.
Nothing wrong with that, and not to mention, it kind of fits your gimmick being the Future.
The Future, yeah, and the Future Legend, too, so that's kind of cool. So now I have an imprint to that. That's what I am.
How is Killer Kowalski doing?
He's doing good. I didn't get a chance to speak to him a whole lot. He left the convention early. I think he was tired. You know, he is close to 80 years old, so he's, you know, his health probably isn't as good as it once was. But, you know, he always was a really healthy person, always took really good care of himself. And God, before that, I hadn't seen him in like a year, which really saddens me. So I want to try to get out to Boston and Massachusetts area and visit him because, you know, God, I got him to thank. I love him to death.
Now, I believe I read somewhere that the person that got you to go to Killer Kowalski school was Bret Hart.
Yeah, it was upon his recommendation. A buddy of mine had actually met him and we're talking about going into a wrestling school, and he'd recommended Killer Kowalski. This was back like in 96. And, you know, we're like, cool, you know, and that was it. The only problem was we lived in California at the time, so he said, we're going to have to save some money and move across country. But that was just an obstacle at the time.
At this point in your career, what do you consider the biggest career highlight so far?
Definitely wrestling. I got several. Winning the X Division title was my first real marquee title, both times I won it. That was definitely one of them. Wrestling in Japan, wrestling in the Corken Hall, definitely. First time I wrestled for WWF, which when I was doing dark matches before I started with TNA, you know, I always wanted to do that. Signing with WWE was a good one. You know, I have so many moments, I don't want to just pin it on one. Winning my first ever title with Killer Kowalski there, so to watch it was awesome. So, you know, I'm lucky. I've had a lot of really cool, really memorable moments.
One thing to clear up, was the contract with WWE a standard contract?
They first signed me to a developmental.
Okay.
I never went to a developmental territory. I went to OVW for a week just to do a TV taping.
And then you signed an official standard contract with them?
And I was under a deal, and then Obviously I'm not anymore.
Yeah. What was that standard deal, like a three-year contract?
It was 3 years, yes.
Okay, all right. What do you consider your best match so far?
Well, hopefully I haven't had my best match.
Good answer.
But so far, wow. Again, there's a lot. I don't want to forget any. I've had a couple with AJ in TNA, which I thought were really good. I think that the Victory Road pay-per-view, which is TNA's first monthly pay-per-view, we did the X Division Gauntlet, and I think everyone worked really hard in that one. And I was in there from start to finish, and that's definitely, I think I gave a lot of effort for that one. I've had so many with Chris Daniels that I like. Yeah, it was just really hard to pinpoint one specific match. One we did down in Australia, which was a four-way match, which really got good reviews, was myself, Johnny Swinger, Chris Sabin, and Jerry Lynn. This was 2003, and it got amazing reviews, you know, the whole year. And it was a four-way match, and for a four-way match to get that type of reviews was really cool, and I was really proud of that one. And I've had some really memorable ones, teaming with Loki in Japan against Tanaka and Takaiwa, and just so many.
Now, with you being free, you can pretty much work for anybody at this point other than TNA. Mm-hmm. What should open the door to probably a lot of opponents you've yet to wrestle. Is there two or three maybe big-name independent stars or maybe released performers from WWE that you're really looking forward to getting a chance to work with?
Oh, a lot of the, you know, a lot of guys that were released from WWE, like the Billy Kidmans, Shannon Moores, never really get Jimmy Yang, and never really can't get a chance to work with. There's a lot of good name on the talent on the indies, guys like Jay Lethal, who I'd like to get in there with. Still like to get back in there with a lot of guys in TNA, a lot of just other guys on the indies. I mean, it's one thing I love about being a wrestler, is just wrestling different types of opponents all the time.
Absolutely. I think from the TNA standpoint, the TNA fans, I think they'd like to know if you're keeping up with Tracy Brooks and Matt Bentley at this point.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Still stay in touch.
Very good.
Definitely.
What does the future hold for the future Frankie Kazarian?
Well, I'm very busy. I'm this weekend I have Pro Wrestling Guerrilla for two shows out here in California. I was possibly going to do Japan again for 01 in September, but I believe it's going to be October now. I have a tour of Australia coming up at the beginning of October. I'm going to be back on the East Coast for USA Pro and Jersey All Pro, and I'm going to be in Iowa. I'm going to be pretty much everywhere and anywhere in the next couple months.
Yeah, over the weekend I noticed you worked Fargo, North Dakota, which
Fargo, North Dakota, yeah.
Is not really known for a wrestling hotbed.
No, yeah, that was I had met the promoter of that show after the PWG event, and they had brought me out for that, and definitely my first time in Fargo, and I didn't even know Fargo had wrestling, so that was strange. I actually teamed up with Jamie Noble there.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah.
Now, you mentioned 01, and I know going back to Spanky, one of the reasons that he went back to WWE was that they weren't booking the domestic talent quite as much in Japan. So I think if you get an opportunity to go with 01 Max at this point, that's saying something, because I know they've really cut down on what would be their foreign talent.
Yeah, they don't really bring in too many gaijin anymore, but you know, hopefully I'm able to go back.
Great. I think this weekend with Pro Wrestling Guerrilla, I think I read the press release, they're doing a tournament, correct?
Yeah, yes. Battle of Los Angeles.
Excellent. Great. Why don't you go ahead and plug your website?
Okay, that's www.thefuturefrankiekazarian.com. Pretty much has everything. It's regularly updated. My webmaster girl does an amazing job, so that has my schedule, my live events, and it's constantly updated.
Okay, a couple more questions before we let you go.
Sure.
What would be one thing that would surprise people to learn about Frankie Kazarian?
Wow. let's see, that I attend church regularly. I don't know if that'll surprise anyone. Hopefully it shouldn't. But
that's a good one. I like that one.
I mean, I do as often as I can. It was from here on Sundays. I try to attend my church. Like I said, hopefully it doesn't surprise many people. What else? I'm really not that in love with my hair. It really wasn't that big of an issue. Probably a lot of things that would surprise people, but some of them maybe not. I don't know. You know, I don't know what the general perception of me is, other than try to be a nice guy to everyone I meet.
What's the worst injury you've incurred in professional wrestling?
You know, I've been extremely, extremely fortunate. I mean, I've had many, many sprains and bruises and chipped bones and head split open and whatnot, but I've never suffered any breaks, knock on wood, or, you know, any long-term type of deal. So, you know, I had a bruise that kept me out for about 6 weeks, but nothing really too bad to speak of. Like I said, I've been, and that's a credit to, I think, my opponents and myself and conditioning and whatnot. It's just, you know, I've been very fortunate.
And obviously an element of luck there as well.
Yeah, definitely. Oh, definitely luck.
At this point, what do you consider your biggest goal?
Right now, my biggest goal is to be the absolute best wrestler I can. You know, my goal was to make it to the WWE. I made it, and unfortunately it wasn't what I expected. So my goal is to, I'm more ambitious now to get myself out there and be recognized as one of the best wrestlers in the world more than ever. So, and I just want to entertain fans in and out of the ring and just, as an entertainer, continue to gain respect and notoriety around the world.
You know, one thing that I know one of your biggest goals, as you said, was to make it to WWE. You grew up watching WWE, identified Shawn Michaels as one of your biggest, favorite wrestlers, and then you make it there. You make it to the big leagues. You work so hard. Go to Killer Kowalski School. You fly across the United States to go to school there. You make it to the pinnacle that everybody, well, I should say not everybody, but a lot of people aspire to be, and then you get there and it's a major disappointment.
Yeah.
I mean, how do you reckon that? How do you deal with that?
That's just me, you know. That's just my opinion. When it actually happened, when I left or was released or was fired or whatever you want to call it, you know, the thought was running through my mind that, like, man, was I really just released? Did I really want to be released? And I couldn't believe it. And I kept running through my head. I was like, it was baffling because, you know, it's to work for something so hard and then get there and be so willing and ready to leave or be fired or whatever, you know, it was just really baffling. But, you know, in the end of the day, I have to do what makes me happy because, you know, happiness is more important to me than anything. So, and I think I know in my heart of hearts that I made the right decision.
Do you feel if there was no TNA at this point that your decision would have been harder to make since, really, I mean, TNA is the only other national company out there. If they weren't there, would you think you'd have been more open to, you know, just going along with what they wanted to cut the hair, different work style, or do you think with TNA being an option or other options such as Japan, that it, you know, gave you an opportunity to say, you know what, this is not really what I want, it's time for me to move on?
That may have played a factor in it, but, you know, at the same time, I don't want to become a robot and become, you know, a clone and just do what I'm told all the time. I'm totally cool with playing by the rules of the book and playing the game, but, you know, I mean, at what point does your happiness or your sanity not come into play? You know, I so many people that go to work day in and day out, and oh, I hate this job, but it's a paycheck. And I never wanted to be like that, whether it be wrestling or anything. You know, if I wanted to be just a guy that collects a paycheck, I would work as a door greeter at Walmart, you know? Nothing against the door greeters of Walmart of America, but, you know, it's that I do this because I love it, it's my passion, and I have fun, and up there, it wasn't my passion anymore.
Absolutely.
And that's the bottom line.
Did you ever get a chance to meet Vince McMahon?
I sat alone, shook his hand once, yes.
So I guess he didn't really have much of an opinion of Vince McMahon other than what we see on TV then.
I personally couldn't tell you anything, nope, other than the Mr. McMahon character. But, I mean, he's run a very successful wrestling program for promotion for many years, so I guess, you know, something to be said for that.
How about, like, Triple H, Stephanie McMahon, Linda McMahon? Did you run into any of them?
Stephanie worked with me on a couple of the backstage promos I did, and she seemed just very right down to business. Triple H, I think he gets a lot of criticism from people about, you know, running the company and whatnot, but I think at the end of the day, Triple H is still one of the best wrestlers on the planet, and I think, you know, he's a guy that can make anyone look good in the ring, and I think a lot of his criticism is undeserved. But, and he was always, you know, I got the chance to chat with him a little bit, and he was always really cool.
Now, one of the criticisms of Triple H is that he likes to be the only person in the company with long hair.
Yeah.
So, I don't know, maybe that hair worked against you with Triple H.
Maybe, I didn't know that, but and if it's something that petty, fine, whatever, you know, but yeah, I didn't know that.
Final question, what's been the biggest rib that's been played upon you, and what's the biggest rib you've done to somebody else?
Wow, God, you know what, I don't know if anyone's ever played a really good rib on me.
Oh, better not say that. Ears are listening out there.
Well, I don't think I can have a rib play. I mean, maybe little ones, but nothing really big. And as far as playing ribs on people, I'm pretty harmless. I try to stay away. I mean, other than my ribs are more mental. I'll tell somebody something that, you know, will kind of have them thinking for the rest of the day. Like, for instance, this past weekend, Sandman was the main event, and there was a kids match that went really long before my match, and after the match, after the show, I told the kid, I was like, bro, hey, you better pack your bags and get out. Sandman's hot. And he was looking at you. He said, what? I was like, yeah, man. He said, you guys went long, and for some reason he was pointing at you, and this kid hasn't been, like, in the business but a year. So the kid's shaking, and he's, you know, packing his bags, ready to leave. Just stuff like that. I'm harmless, so I don't really do too many rips.
Okay. Well, Frankie, we want to thank you for your time tonight, and let me just say, as someone who's been in the last few months really pushing hard TNA, because I know from my own personal standpoint, I really miss traditional wrestling. I think WWE's got more and more and more and more into the sports entertainment, less into pro wrestling. And I think a guy like you can be one of those guys that can make a difference. I think we all really appreciated your work in the X Division. I think we really appreciate your work as a tag team with Michael Shane, Matt Bentley now. I'm also a big fan of tag team wrestling. That's one thing that I really miss about the WWE is, where are the tag teams? I mean,
oh yeah, definitely. There is no tag team wrestling.
I mean, it's like, what are the cruiserweights, but what are the tag teams? I mean, they have a tag belt on Raw, they have a tag belt on SmackDown. They barely have enough tag teams to fill up a room.
Exactly, and they don't throw people together to form tag teams anymore.
Exactly. So we're really hoping that I only can maybe speak for my own personal self here. Is that we wish you the best of luck, first thing.
Thank you.
And if you decide to go back to TNA, we really hope you do well there. Maybe you'll get a chance to reform a team with Michael Shane, or maybe they'll have a new storyline for you, and maybe at some point you will be the NWA champion, Frankie Kazarian.
Hey, I'm leaving all doors open, and you know, thanks for giving me the chance to speak my mind. I appreciate it.
You know, that sounds pretty good. The NWA champion, Frankie Kazarian.
There you go.
It
does have a very nice ring to it, so I'll get right to work on that.
Well, Frankie, thank you so much. We really appreciate your time.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
All right, as always, if you're looking for pro wrestling news, head over to www.gerweck.net, that's Gerweck.net, your source on the internet for all your pro wrestling news, results, rosters, interviews, and polls. Thanks again to Frankie Kazarian. Thanks for calling, thanks for listening, and God bless.